a song called What's New at the Zoo from Do Re Mi by Comden and Green, doing the book and lyrics on that song. Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm a little discombobulated because I'm so excited at having the guest that we have on the phone with us all the way from New York, where of course she belongs because she is so tied to the Broadway theater. This is the winner of two Tony Awards, including the 1962 Tony for a show called Subways Are for Sleeping, as well as a 2009 Special Tony Award for spearheading the Phyllis Newman Health Initiative for Breast Cancer Research. We have with us on the phone, and hopefully going through the board, Phyllis Newman. You're still so busy, is What's New at the Zoo. Not just right. The song from Do Re Mi, but the book. Please right. Explain. What is this all about?
What's so amazing about this whole, the book and the success of it and the idea that it's there is that this was a song from a show called Do Re Mi that my husband Adolf Green, Betty Comden, and Julie Stein wrote the score. And I always loved this song. I was pregnant out of town while the show was trying out. And I just always loved this really silly song. And it was meant to be, you know, a sort of witty comment on, this is in the late 60s, so it was meant to be a comment on how music was changing from, you know, pop songs to these sort of silly songs. And it's just adorable. And so when I was approached to do a children's book, we looked at the lyrics of this song and said, well, this is a children's book in itself. And it's just adorable. It's witty and it's fun. You know, the zoos used to be terribly crowded and, you know, not well done. And now they're, you know, I live on Central Park West, and the Central Park Zoo now is just beautiful and the animals have so much freedom. So I say we helped it with the song.
Oh, well, hopefully so. And I do want to mention that if you want to see Phyllis Newman in the flesh signing, and I guess reading from the book as
well.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You will be... Yeah, sorry. Please, go ahead. Yeah.
No, tomorrow, Sunday, the Books of Wonder, great, great bookstore on 18 West 18th Street in Manhattan. From 12 to 1:30 or 2, I will be signing, and the illustrator will be drawing special drawings for anybody who buys a book. He's a brilliant illustrator, and we have children from PS212 who will be singing the song. So it's like a little kids party, so everyone should come down. It's really great fun. You know, Books of Wonder, 18 West 18th Street in Manhattan.
And that's
have a good time.
Noon tomorrow to see
right.
Phyllis Newman and to hear her and to get your book signed by her and the illustrator, Travis Foster, and also hear some music sung by that children's
choir. Children will sing the song adorably. It's really wonderful.
Well, that's good. You are a New Yorker at heart.
I mean,
I mean, were you born in Jersey or New York?
I was born in Jersey City.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up in New Jersey, and then obviously moved to... I didn't move to New York, so I was quite a bit older, but I worked in New York all the time because I started performing very young. And I also... what I forgot to mention about this book and future children's books to come is that part of the proceeds... We're going to go to the Phyllis Newman Women's Health Initiative of the Actors Fund, which is something that we started for women in the entertainment industry 17 years ago. And every year we do a huge event called Nothing Like a Dame, and we raise money for free services, insurance, all kinds of medical problems that women might have.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I seem to remember that the birth of that organization was kind of like when they were raising money year after year for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you kind of said, well, what about women's issues and what about breast cancer and
well,
stuff like
that? Well, Broadway Cares was just fabulous about it. The thing is, many years ago I had a health issue, and I wanted to do something, and I had the thought of doing a show with all women, including the conductor and the musicians and the director, because so many great women were performing on Broadway that year, Carol Burnett and Lauren Bacall and on and on and on. And we brought it to the Actors Fund and Broadway Cares, and wonderful Tom Viola of Broadway Cares said this is absolutely a wonderful idea. you know, to reach women. And he said, you've got to do it every year. And they're our biggest supporters. Broadway Cares gave us $600,000 last year.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah. Well, it's a real necessity, you know. Insurance doesn't cover you when you're not in a show. And it's not just for actresses. It's for ushers or stagehands or anything, you know. Anybody who's in the entertainment industry.
And I might as well ask you,
proud of that. What?
If people want to find out, first of all, more about the health initiative,
just go online. Go on the Phyllis Newman Women's Health Initiative.com or the Actors Fund.
That's a little easier to remember. The Actors Fund.com.
Yeah.
And look for
.com, and they'll have the listing of all their things, and this will be one of them. And also, you can go on Broadway Cares, they'll have it too.
Now, one of the things about your career, I mean, we so identify you with theater, but in looking up your bio and stuff, you also did work on live TV during the Playhouse 90 era. Was that how you got the start, or was it your start in theater? How did it all work?
I started very young performing all over the place, but when live television was at its height, I did a lot of work then. And then I did a lot of theater then. You know, I've never stopped working.
Did you have any of the classic mishaps of live TV occur to you when you were doing those live shows?
I'm trying to... Oh, God, it was a hell of a long time ago. Oh, you said no cursing. Okay, it was a heck of a long time ago. I don't remember anything major. I just remember nerves like I've never known. You know,
because
there you are live in front of millions of people. But very good work was done. And I worked a lot with the great Sidney Lumet, you know, in those days. And then later on, about 10 years ago, in something called 100 Center Street. He was a great director, and I was in a couple of movies of his. So I've had a varied and interesting career.
And do you remember your early off and Broadway shows, you know, when you were first getting started, your feet wet, on the stages.
Yes. Uh-huh. Well, I mean, it's so long ago, I feel like.
Well.
I was in Wish You Were Here, which was a show that had a swimming pool on stage. That was in the 50s.
Good Lord.
And I was going to college. I was a freshman to college, and I came in, and I auditioned because I wanted to come back to New York to be near my boyfriend. There's always a boyfriend in the stories.
Yeah.
And I got the part, and I had a great run for a year and a half, directed by Josh Logan, Leland Hayward. Florence Henderson and I were in the chorus and also understudied the two leads, she the ingenue and I the, you know, the comic. We became very good friends then. And then from then on, I worked quite a lot. Before I met Adolph Green, I met him, my husband, at an audition for Bells Are Ringing, where I got the audition and a husband.
Now I gotta figure out how that works. I mean, how does that not? Okay, he met you. You auditioned for him. You were great, and then he asked you out. I mean, were eyebrows raised?
No, I was a standby, so I was at the theater.
Yeah.
You know, all the time, and he used to come by all the time because he was such a great friend of Judy Holliday's and Sidney Chaplin's, and I just made sure that he saw me whenever he came to the theater. And he asked me out for a date, and I was extremely nervous, and I tried to impress him, listing, you know, famous books and authors, because he was such an intellectual and such an adorable, brilliant man. And it clicked, and we were married for 40-some-odd years, you know.
With
two great children, so it's a happy story.
Do you think the marriage lasted as long as it did because he had, like, the person that he was creative with, which was Betty Comden, and everybody used to think they were married, but of course they were just writing partners, and you had the theater to go to, and you had all that. Did that help?
It was tremendously helpful. I had a very active career, you know, and traveled to, you know, of course, I was the first woman to host the Johnny Carson show, so I had that whole thing going on, you know, and I wrote some things, directed, so that was extremely helpful. I don't mean helpful, but it made it very stimulating, plus having two great children, you know, so we had a full and rich life.
We should mention that your children, Adam Green and Amanda Green, now I know she's an actress and a singer and a
captain. Amanda Green, I'm going to really, I have to blow the trumpet because...
Okay.
Her show called Bring It On is in rehearsal, not rehearsal, it's in preview. You have to excuse me, I have a little sore throat.
Of course.
At the Amundsen Theater in Los Angeles. and it opens there November 11th.
Oh,
it's a big musical, and she writes the lyrics. She's just brilliant. And my son, Adam Green, writes about theater for Vogue magazine,
Ooh.
And he writes The New Yorker, and he's writing a book. They're both very, very talented.
You're feeling like a mama should.
Well, I am. I'm a proud, proud mama.
Have they made you a grandma?
No. Oh, yes, I have two wonderful. I should. What?
You almost forgot there for a moment.
No. The reason is because they're my daughter's stepdaughters.
Oh.
I feel like they're my own. So,
of course.
So they're two darling girls. Yes.
So let's get to some more specific memories of your theater work. I found that you were in the 1971 revival
yeah.
of On the Town with people
right.
like Donna McKechnie and Bernadette Peters.
Bernadette, right.
Did anybody know who she was even at that point?
Oh,
was that,
yes.
That was post Dames at Sea? Or
That
sorry.
Was what?
Was that post Dames at Sea? Because I thought that was the
it
show.
It was. It was after Dames at
okay.
Sea.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, no, people knew who she was. And she was even nominated for a Tony for On the Town. It was just a very difficult... For me, it was very difficult to be in. I never wanted to do it because I never saw the original. That was before my time. But it was so dear to their hearts, you know, and it was their first show, Leonard Bernstein, Comden, and Green. Mm-hmm. And this was playing Betty's part, and I thought it was sort of gooky for, you know.
Okay.
I don't mean the show, but I mean it was just sort of odd. But they really talked me into it, to be honest, you know.
Oh. And do you have any... memories of working on it or working with people like Bernadette
sure.
and Donna McKechnie. Well, share, please.
Well, I mean, my memory is of doing the show and, you know, being very friendly with both of them. And the most memory is of the sad memory of it not working, you know, with all those talented people and a great show. So that was not happy.
How can you tell? In other words, I mean, the audience will tell you whether it's working or not, but up until opening night, when you were putting it out in front of everybody, could you, I mean, because you know the material worked, On the Town was a hit, it's been a hit since, kind of.
Yeah.
What is it, what didn't gel? Can you tell?
I'll never know, I don't think, excuse me,
sure.
anyone will. You know, first of all, we opened out of town and did not do well, and then they kept changing and fixing it, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then it opened in New York and... I never read the reviews, especially when they're not good. And I don't know how to answer that question. I don't think anyone does, you know.
Okay. Well, let me ask about some other shows that you've been in. I noted on the beloved Internet Broadway database that you went into...
Oh, God, I forget everything you've ever done is every place, yeah.
I know. They
Talk
don't forget.
Blog. I want to... You know, I
please.
Do blog.
Yes.
I haven't done it now for a few months, but I think it's kind of interesting and good, and I would be very happy if people went on. It's just Phyllis Newman, I guess, .com, and then you press blog, and it's a real blog. I mean, I write about the past and the present, and I think it's fun. I think people would really enjoy it if you enjoy the theater and anything else, you know.
I did check out the blog. It's got tons of great photographs on there.
Yes, it really does.
But I have to ask you, about this line on your most recent blog. You wrote,
yeah.
"It's been a tumultuous, frenzied, and sexually active bunch of weeks." Do tell.
I just make up whatever I want to.
Oh, okay. I was wondering, you know, because you're single.
I have to pep up my story, you know. You're writing a story.
You're just trying to get people from Google search who are looking for sex. Your website will come up in the top 10.
I haven't stooped to that yet.
Okay.
Wait till next week. No, I do. I love to write, and I've just been very busy the last couple of months. But I do enjoy the idea really is then and now. It's not just a reminiscence. I call it my autobiography. Because it's like a memoir, but with also current things, because I don't really live in the past at all, you know.
Well, we should let people know... Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
No, that's it.
We should let people know that you did write an autobiography back in 1983 called Just
oh, yes.
in Time.
Yes.
Which I guess is that still in print?
I don't know. I think you can go on Amazon or those book search places and you can get copies, yes.
Cool.
Yeah,
but
I'm very proud of that book, and you know.
I kind of took a little detour when I was going to ask about that IBDB listing for a show called, well, a very famous show called Prisoner of Second Avenue. You were not in the opening cast, but you went into it. But it doesn't say.
I went into it, yeah.
Who was your male?
Hector Elizondo.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great. He was so terrific. We were wonderful together. And Mike Nichols came in to redirect, you know. And, you know, I was in, I guess, 3 or 4 Neil Simon plays. There was nothing like being in those. I mean, to get those laughs, you know, and to please an audience the way he could please an audience was just terrific.
Oh, my. Yeah, I mean, that just the heyday of Neil Simon was
exactly.
Quite extraordinary.
And you knew you were so sure of the material that you just had to do it, you know.
Can I ask, working with Mike Nichols,
yeah,
what is his style like? Is he kind of laissez-faire and hands-off? Is he very... What is he like as a director?
Well, he's, you know, one of the smartest people on the planet, and so he is... he just knows the right thing to say to the person, and he can judge character. So with some people, he might push... you know, and push ideas on, and then with another person, he might just let them alone and let them find their own way of playing something. He's just so smart and so witty that he's just one, you know, people of that kind of talent are just, it's thrilling to work with somebody like that.
And speaking of another talented person that you've worked with, you did a show, a play written by James Lapine called The Moment When.
Oh, yes.
Off Broadway. And he seems like such a mysterious figure. He's not in the spotlight, let's say the way Stephen Sondheim has been in the past 10 years or so.
Yeah. What? No, he doesn't you never see him interviewed or place, I don't know, and he's a brilliant writer and brilliant director. I don't know that's his choice, you know. But he's a wonderful, again... bright, you know, talented, funny, and serious.
Well, how would his directing style differ from a Mike Nichols?
Well, he didn't direct this. He wrote it. And Orson Welles' son directed it.
You're kidding.
No, you know, what's his name? Who just wrote the book about it. Michael Lindsay Hogg.
Oh, my gosh.
He was the director. And he does look exactly like Orson Welles. That's all. You couldn't keep your eyes off him all through rehearsal. I couldn't. Oh. This was like having being directed by Orson Welles, you know.
Good Lord.
So, yeah.
And...
found information, yeah.
No, by all means. I'm just trying to get as much biography and information out of you because there's just so much to discuss. We are talking with Phyllis Newman, of course. If you want to see her, as well as hear her, please remember that tomorrow, November 6th, Phyllis Newman will be reading from and signing the book What's New at the Zoo, which features lyrics by Comden and Green and illustrations by Travis Foster, who will also be at the event signing and also drawing pictures. There'll be a children's choir singing the songs. It's this whole big thing at Books of Wonder, 18 West 18th Street, and that starts at noon tomorrow, Sunday, in New York. So, of course, it's New York time, till 1:30 or so, or till you know, your wrist gets tired of signing books. You know, it goes until pretty much then. So, other people that you have memories of after 40 years of a career in theater and film and television, people like, and you've written about this on your blog, the late Liz Taylor.
Oh God, that's a yeah.
What?
Oh no, just read my blog.
Okay. Well, yeah.
No, I mean she. What can I say? She was, you know, she was warm and witty, and my, you know, time with her, which was a very long time ago, and which was social, not working. She was a dame, and that's the best kind of woman to me.
Well,
she was a terrific woman. She was funny.
Well, yeah, but is that what a dame is kind of tough and funny?
A dame is a real person, someone who's down to earth, who has a big sense of humor, who has a joie de vivre, you know, wanting to have a good time and being bright, and that's a dame.
Well, yeah, Liz Taylor definitely fits those.
Yeah, is one of those, you know.
Now,
and
some,
that's good.
Someone else
I wish I could afford to buy her jewelry that's going on sale.
You mean you can't? Well, because you live on Central Park West. Your
rent
must be astronomical. But
exactly.
The view, hey, you're paying for the view.
Oh, the view is great. It's not. We've lived here for 50 years, so this is. We were lucky.
Well, yeah. Oh, that's true. When you got the apartment, what was it, like $120 a month?
It was not a lot. That's all I can tell you, yeah.
Well, let me ask another person that you're very chummy with, I guess. And I'm sure there are zillions, but it kind of dovetails with this program because just a couple of weeks ago we had the cabaret singer and actor Jason Graw on, and he's been doing it, Jerry Herman.
Oh, he's wonderful, show, yeah.
Isn't he? Yeah. And Marilyn May is now doing a...
Oh, I love her.
She was on the show a couple of years ago, and she's doing a Jerry Herman show. Well, you know Jerry Herman.
The Jerry Herman show? Is that what she's doing at the Algonquin? I mean, at Feinstein's?
I do believe that it is a Herman related.
No, I know that because I'm going to go see her, yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, well, there you go. So your thoughts on Jerry Herman, whom you know personally?
Well, we grew up together. We
right.
met at the Y in Jersey City, and he was writing a show, and I was starring in it when we were 13, 14, around that age. And then I would go into New York with him on the bus, and I'd be typing up the lyrics on the bus. It sounds very Judy and Mickey, but it's true. And then sometimes I'd sing the songs for people, and I just knew him from childhood. We were good friends, and then I was in a number of his early shows off-Broadway.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And we've remained friends, you know.
And he seems just like the nicest character.
He's a wonderful, he really is. He's a charming, wonderful, wonderful, talented man.
And
I'm a very lucky person.
And even though you are certainly not in any way kind of a diva, you seem like a dame too.
I am. I'm not remotely a diva. I wish I were, but I'm not.
Well, can you dish a little on some people over the years that you...
No. I don't really want to. Just want people to come, because I got to go. I just want people to come and hear the book and buy the book and have a good time and remember to do good things in the world and let the divas have their own show.
That's fair enough. So you have to run?
Well, I do.
Well, Phyllis Newman, it has been an absolute pleasure and a joy having you in our neighborhood. We're not in Central Park West here in Greeley, Colorado, but our heart is there just a little.
Oh, it's so beautiful out there, though.
Well, not the last week or so with the weather, but usually it is.
Anyway, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be with you.
Likewise. Ladies and gentlemen, okay. Phyllis Newman. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.